Greetings, Iowa. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. About 10 years ago, my son and I first started watching Bob Benyart live on television. At first I thought, what's wrong with this guy? He would quote from the Bible and I'd think, that's not in the Bible. So I got my Bible and I looked. You know what? I was wrong. I didn't know things like God sought to kill Moses. Did you? I soon realized Bob had an understanding of the Bible that I wanted, along with the boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise. So I purchased a plot and a video, and I began to support this ministry. The first time I met Bob in person was in 1999, a few days after my son Dan was murdered at Columbine High School. I am so thankful that I had a biblically correct understanding of God and His Word at that time. I hope you will enjoy this show and join with me in supporting Bob Benyart Live. I want to encourage you to buy the plot and read it. And if you don't love it, I'll personally refund your money. Thank you.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. After 7 years, we've been doing a look back at Columbine, and Brian Rohrbaugh has been in studio. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let me start with just a bullet summary of what we've covered so far. The warning signs were explicit to Columbine High School and to the Sheriff's Department, Jefferson County. The Brown family had gone to the sheriff's department with the death threats and pipe bombs that Eric Harris said he was making. Jefferson County had built a search warrant application, and then, for some reason, they just dropped it. Once the event started, the command center from Jefferson County Sheriff's Department ended up at the school, and there was a long period of inactivity. When kids are dying, a teacher is dying, and Jeffco now has to explain why they were doing nothing for so long when there were SWAT members on site. They wanted a mission, and nothing was coming out of the command center. It turns out that an officer had brought down to that command center, brought a file on Eric Harris with Dylan Klebold, and they knew exactly the paper record of their involvement with these two and how they had dropped the ball. So then, within days, they denied that they had a search warrant application for Eric Harris. They denied that the Brown family had warned Jefferson County about these death threats and pipe bombs. They were lying through their teeth. Now we know that's all been exposed. There was secret meetings that have now been completely revealed and put on the record. They're no longer secret, where they decided to lie and deny that this paper track record had existed. They lied about the search warrant and the meetings with the Brown family about Eric Harris. They had to retell the story of how the kids were killed to justify why they did nothing for so long out of that command center. And so they said Rachel Scott died first, when in reality we know that Rachel Scott was the 12th to die. They lied about how Danny was killed. Danny was not shot by close range from Dylan Klebold standing over him when he's lying on the sidewalk. We know that because their own ballistics show that that could not be true. And yet you've played recordings, Brian, where they said absolutely they knew that's what had happened. There were no marks in the sidewalk from the bullet. They lied to your family saying you couldn't have Danny's clothes because there was a law saying it was a biohazard and therefore you couldn't have them. Turns out that was a lie. They had already tested those clothes and they knew that if you had them tested, which you did, that the clothes would show no gunshot residue, showing that their story didn't make sense. We've talked all through this and then also about the 15 crosses that were erected on Rebel Hill at Columbine, the tragedy of Christians trying to trivialize mass murder or trying to honor the murderers along with their victims. And of course, we talked about how you and I met when I was an inmate just days after Columbine. Your son was murdered and I was in Jefferson County Jail because, trying to be a good father, I had been convicted after spanking my stepson 5 swats on the backside. So they throw good dads in jail, and really bad dads like Mr. Harris, they get a search warrant and they don't follow up on it. Brian, what do we do next?
Well, there's a comment that I'd like you to hear. After this El Paso investigation, the coroner was there, and I'd like to play just a bit of his statements, and that would be track 5.
I just feel the need to say this for what it's worth. You know, you guys don't know me, so what it's worth may not be much, but, you know, I wasn't in government at all, let alone in the coroner's office at the time that Danny and these other people died. If I thought that the cops shot him based upon the evidence that I was seeing, I'd be sad for that, but I would tell you, and I'd tell the rest of the world, and I'd help you prove it. For what it's worth, as an independent guy, I think that Eric Harris shot him and is responsible for his death. And legally, I think Klebold and Harris are both responsible for his death. I'm sorry for all the that you guys have gone through. I hope our office hasn't done that to you. The coroner's office probably isn't, at least on the worst of your bad guy list. But
okay, so that was the coroner, not there when Columbine happened, but he's still there now. And he wanted to apologize to us. But when I asked him to go outside and tell the media, then he decided he wasn't an apologist for Jeffco. And to this date, there hasn't been one man decent enough in that organization to issue an apology. And this is one of the
things. Even though the documented lies. And isn't it criminal to tamper with evidence?
Of course it is.
How about for a murder? How about for a mass murder?
There's no question. The behavior has been criminal at every turn, and the courts have rewarded them. When we prove that they were lying about information they had in the court, we ask the court to sanction Jefferson County. Mm-hmm. In other words, to enforce the fine that you're supposed to get when a Freedom of Information Act is not fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And the court refused, saying he didn't think there was any deception. At one time, Judge Jackson actually told Kate Batten.
Jefferson County Judge Jackson.
Told Kate Batten, Kate, do not say another word. And that was when we forced them to admit the search warrant. Let me tell you how that came about.
Wait. Kate Batten, she's the lead investigator for Jeffco on Columbine.
And she's testifying in court. And for the third time, we're back in court asking about the search warrant. This time.
And she slipped.
No. This time, 60 Minutes was involved, and 60 Minutes had interviewed Dave Thomas, who had told him he'd seen the search warrant. Now, the reason he told him that is because they believe 60 Minutes had a copy of the search warrant and was going to show it on television.
Hmm. So he was backed into a corner
to
admit the truth.
He wasn't going to be on national TV saying, I've never seen it or I don't know about it. So they went into court and said, we will bring him over here right now to testify. And then Kate Batten and, get this, County Attorney Lily Offler, who's now Judge Lily Offler in Jefferson County.
Thanks to Republican Governor Bill Owens.
Right. They started to backpedal. Oh, you mean that search warrant?
What do you mean you mean that search warrant?
Exactly. Exactly. And so
Judge
Jackson.
So here she is admitting, beginning to admit that they lied.
And they knew what it was the whole time we'd been asking.
And the judge
told Kate Batten, Kate, don't say another word. And then he wrote in his report or his findings of the case that that was the first time we'd asked for it specifically enough that Jeffco could release it. And that's an utter lie. That was a complete and total lie.
And so the judge stopped the witness when the witness is about to admit, oh, that search warrant.
Exactly right.
And he stops her.
He stops her, tells her not to say another word. And the search warrant was released, and then we go back to Governor Owens had a task force. We call it the Whitewash Committee. They were to look into Columbine and find out what happened. Well, they had already written their report. Now, you're going to love this. The guy running for governor, Bill Ritter, was one of the people on the commission. Do you know that he and a few of the others refused to let Randy and Judy Brown testify? The people who provided all the evidence were refused an opportunity to testify in front of the Columbine Commission. Well, these guys had printed their report, and it basically said John Stone's an idiot, but nothing else went wrong.
Right.
And then we got the search warrant released. So you know what they did?
They redid the entire report because it was all a lie.
No. They took their reports, took them back to the printer, and printed footnotes on the page. And so what happens is you'll read the top, gee, there's no evidence, nothing was found. Oh, by the way, there was a search warrant, there were pipe bombs, there were.
Right. So they don't redo the report and redo the conclusion.
No.
They just let the conclusion stand with a few footnotes. By the way, Jeffco lied about the entire event.
Exactly right. And this is the political agenda around Columbine. Everyone covers it up. You get this former Judge Erickson who tells the press, I need subpoena power. And then I got Bill Owens telling me I offered him subpoena power, but he said he didn't need it. And this is classic of what happened. They didn't find out anything because they didn't want to find out anything. After all, it's only 12 kids dead and a teacher. And while they really care about the teacher, we know for sure they don't care about the children.
Wow. So, Brian, there are still three more things I'd like us to cover.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do that. This is all so important. Here are my three topics. I'd like us to talk about the Columbine principal.
Frank DeAngelis.
That's right. I got to talk to him on the radio one time. Frank DeAngelis. And I want to talk about all those who said that Columbine was God's will, that God orchestrated Columbine. And then finally, I want to talk about West Bowles Community Church, where they planted 15 trees in a memorial garden after the senior pastor promised you and other parents that they would not do any memorial with the number 15. Because you guys said don't honor the murderers. So let's start first with the Columbine principal. So, Brian, I've got a story about Frank DeAngelis, but you start us.
Well, obviously there was a lot of tension between us and the school district. And several months after Columbine, Frank DeAngelis asked Lisa and I if we'd come into the office just to talk with him and to see if he could help us with anything or we could, you know, clear the air. And we went in there, and it was kind of funny. There were a couple old ladies sitting at the table that was supposed to be their security asking us to sign in. Mm-hmm. And I was just chuckling about it. Both of us were. And Lisa, I think, asked him, what would you do if we went by you? And, of course, this is classic of a liberal's address of security. Hmm. You know, it would have had no value whatsoever. It's kind of a side topic to this. But we were meeting with Frank DeAngelis, and, you know, in his office, he had a picture of Dave Sanders and a cross and all this other stuff that was religious. And Lisa commented on it, and he said, does it bother you? And Lisa said, of course not. I love seeing that there. Well, this was at the time when we had been invited to paint tiles for the school, and then they refused to put them up.
You painted tiles, and it ends up going to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right. And the Supreme Court decided not to hear the case, which isn't unusual. They only hear about 2%.
Right.
But, yeah, they asked us to come to the school and paint a tile and create a memory of Dan. Mm-hmm. And then after we did it, they said, we don't like what you painted. We're not putting it up. And so, anyhow.
Describe the tile, please. I seem to recall even the Bible verse you put on it.
Yeah, there was a Bible verse from Isaiah. There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. I think that's the verse.
I think that may have been the best verse in the whole Bible. There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord.
And then the second one I painted had 13 crosses on it, no particular order, uneven sizes and shapes, just a memory of the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some. Rich's daughter, Nicole, had one that they put up and then tore back down because it said Dan on it. Hmm. And anyhow, religious symbols, anything they determined was a cross, all of that they didn't want. Well, when we went to court, we had like 400 photos of things that were already in the school that were religious in nature.
Right.
And so, of course, we won that first case.
Mm-hmm.
When we got to the appellate court, because a school district appealed it, I knew we were in trouble because the Chief Justice said, today I want you to tell me what your weakest argument is for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew they'd already made up their mind before that hearing even started.
Mm.
And they had. And they all figured that we'll reward the school district.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court probably won't hear it. And it's classic of what goes on in these kind of battles.
So, Brian, and this is Brian Rohrbaugh, father of Danny Rohrbaugh. So you paint these tiles, you're invited to paint them, and they won't put them up. Of course, the school is filled with all kinds of religious symbols, other religions, pagan religions.
Right.
But not even a cross. And a cross is as associated with remembering the death of someone in America as any other cultural symbol. But because of any connection to Jesus Christ, they reject it.
Right. So anyhow, we're in Frank DeAngelis's office and, you know, he asks, are you offended by those? No, we like to see them. And we're talking about things and we're asking him questions and he made this comment. He said, I can't wait till the trials start so that I can tell the truth.
Mm.
And my wife said to him, 13 innocent people are dead and you're going to wait till a trial to tell the truth?
Wow.
Why don't you tell the truth right now? And he said, because I have my career to think about.
Devastating. Devastating, Brian.
And it's classic of the value that working for the government, what your values go to, that your job is more important. You know, he could have been a hero to this country by doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he backed the system for his $50,000 a year or whatever he gets paid and continues to destroy kids.
Well, let me tell you my brief interaction with him. He was a guest on Peter Boyle's radio show on KNUS a couple years after Columbine. And I got to call in. And they were saying that there's really nothing you could do to prevent a Columbine. So I called in. I said, well, I have a suggestion. Here's one thing you could start with. Instead of giving kids assignments and tests with the instructions that say there are no right or wrong answers regarding moral issues, instead of doing that, teach children that there is such a thing as right and wrong. There's a start. And Frank DeAngelis and Peter Boyles both dismissed me, mocked me as foolish. And Peter Boyles argued we had just one bit of argument and then he hung up on me. But he said, well, how about the death penalty? Everybody disagrees on whether you should have the death penalty or not. So how could there be right or wrong? I said, Peter, it's better to tell kids that people disagree on the death penalty than to say there is no right answer on the death penalty. There is no right or wrong on murder or abortion or homosexuality or adultery or stealing. There is no such thing as right or wrong. And so here are these two adults saying there's nothing we could do, and they are promoting this typical public school lie that there's no such thing as right or wrong.
Well, I can take it even further than that. Even to this day, if a bomb threat is called into Columbine High School, Frank DeAngelis makes a decision on whether the police are called or not.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And you think about that. Put that in perspective. You're asking a principal to decide, should I take a threat seriously or just ignore it? And who cares about the 2,000 kids that might be killed? And every kid in the school knows it. And so bomb threats come in because people think, hey, maybe today they'll clear the school.
Mm-hmm.
But it's classic of what takes place.
All right, Brian, let's take a quick break. We're speaking with Brian Rohrbaugh, Columbine Dad, and you're listening to Bob Benyart Live. And if you didn't catch the whole show, you could get it on the internet at our website, KGov, that's KGOV.com.
And At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. So now the people who said that Columbine was God's will, in fact, we just watched a video of Columbine and made by West Bowles Community Church, and they were interviewing these kids who were not shot, and they said, God put a force field, a shield around me. There was no way any bullet could hurt me because it was not God's will. And so, of course, they don't consider the reverse, which is God wanted those kids injured and he wanted those kids dead. They don't consider that. And God wanted all the ineptitude and all the lies and all the deception that went around Columbine.
It's not only that. When you attribute this to God, you have no choice but to elevate the two murderers to the absolute throne for following God's will.
Yeah, right.
And that's one of the things. It is so evil. It's a core evil in Christianity to believe that your life is micromanaged and therefore you have no opinion. You can't do anything. You have no decision. You, in fact, want to blame God for the sins that you commit and say it's his fault. And that's evil.
In other words, there are millions of people who believe that no matter what, Harrison Klebold could have never refrained from murdering these children and this teacher because God wanted them to murder those children and this teacher.
Anytime that you say that this was caused by God, that he wanted it to happen, and early after, what they were all saying is, this is going to bring about a revival. This will bring prayer back to school.
Yeah, they right.
And,
they were
and
all
even
saying
one of the other families that I'm not going to identify said on another radio show that if my child was involved, it had to be big. And that's why there were so many killed there that day.
Mm.
And that was such a disgusting statement. Yeah. In other words, my son died to elevate the value of another child. And I cringe when people say that.
Right.
But that was said all too often. And these were the same people that were saying forgive everyone and wearing shirts that said 70 times 7, but were absolutely furious that Luke wrote something a little different and a little more comprehensive than what they wanted to portray.
In the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus says, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And Christians have thrown out everything in the Bible that indicates that the prophets, the apostles, righteous men, even Jesus required repentance from people in order to forgive them. That's the basic rule. You repent, you're sorry, you can be forgiven. If you're not sorry, you're not forgiven. In fact, you go to hell eventually.
And on that same topic is judging. Because in order to forgive someone, you have to judge them.
First.
It doesn't work without judgment.
So Christians say, don't judge anyone and forgive everyone. It's completely contradictory right off the bat. Because you can't forgive unless you first judge. And you're not supposed to forgive everyone. As Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him. And then judging, Jesus said, it's a command to judge with righteous judgment. John 7:24. And we have what? The Apostle Paul saying, I'm ashamed of you because you don't judge anyone. Do you not know that we will judge the angels? We will judge the world. You need to start judging. We have the mind of Christ. He who is spiritual judges all things. And Christians take Hillary's favorite verse, judge not, and they assume it's the only thing God has said about judging.
Yeah, well, they take the first part of her favorite verse and they disregard the latter part.
Yeah, don't judge, you hypocrite. First, stop committing the same sin, and then you can judge your brother.
Right.
There's even an entire book of Judges in the Bible. So that's where we're at. Christianity, which has been co-opted by cliches, and there are people who say, well, look in the Bible. God killed people in the Bible, which is true, and that's not evil for God to take someone from this life to the afterlife. He has the authority to do that. And they say, look, Jesus died on the cross, and that was God's will. Therefore, if a man rapes a child and murders him, that must be God's will too. And that's despicable.
It's completely evil.
It is evil.
And you have to be intentionally blind to what the Bible says to follow along with this. But tragically, so many churches, this is their core belief. This is the only thing other than asking for money every week that is heard. Are these cliches
over and
give
over
us money?
And over. And, you know, actions speak more loudly than words. And if God says in the Bible that he loves righteousness, but if he has orchestrated every lustful thought, every bitterness, every hate, every crime, every murder, every terrorism, every divorce, every child whose heart's broken, God has orchestrated all that, then we see that God is way more, that kind of God is way more interested in bitterness and hatred than he is in love and devotion. Because that's what he's filled the world with.
Right. If you had that belief, and sadly, that is a belief among far too many Christians.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is the secular world can see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
They see the hypocrisy and they say, you have nothing to believe in if you would think that.
Yeah, we have a talk show host here in Denver, Mike Rosen, and he's over the years indicated, look, you want me to believe in this God who orchestrates rape and murder for his glory and pleasure? No, I don't believe in that kind of God. So rather than stumbling over Jesus Christ, he stumbles over the false teaching of Christians. It's simply devastating. In Battle Royale 10, you remember that, Brian?
Of course.
Battle Royale 10, I was debating a professor from D. James Kennedy's ministry, Dr. Samuel Lamerson. And we sell this Battle Royale 10. It's, is the future settled or open? And in this debate, he said, well, God, I'll put it in my words what he said, God has to micromanage our lives. Because otherwise, who knows? I might marry someone, a woman, who might kill my kids. So God has to orchestrate and micromanage our lives. And you responded to Samuel Lamerson, even though I was debating him, you wrote a letter. And in that letter to Sam, you quoted a letter you had received. Could you remind us what you said to Sam Lamerson?
Well, I quoted from Barbara Martin, who sent me a letter and talks about the tragic experience in her life. And we equated that, or I equated that back to Samuel's premise and pointed out that according to him, Susan Smith murdered her children and caused all this pain in the lives of Barbara Martin and her son, who was the father of these beautiful children. And according to Lamerson, that had to have been orchestrated by God. I pointed out that he even defied his own belief by acting as though God would prevent it from happening to him.
Yeah, Lamerson says, if I were to accept that we have freedom, then maybe God would have me marry a woman who would kill my children. And here is Lamerson's belief that God does have men marry women who will kill their children. He actually believes that. And he's using that as a, well, if I believed in freedom, then maybe this would happen. We say, Sam, you believe this happened. And then, of course, with Columbine, Sam believes that your son was killed because God wanted Danny killed. And so then this issue was brought up by Jesus in the Bible in a way. You recall the Tower of Siloam?
Sure.
You wrote this in your letter.
Right. Yeah, the tower fell and killed 18 people. And the people came to Christ and said, why did this happen?
Yeah, were these the worst sinners?
Yeah. Are
Is these that why they were killed?
They're being punished, right? And Christ says, no, you idiot, it's an accident.
Well,
and I'm paraphrasing, of course.
You're paraphrasing. He didn't say accident, but he said, no, they thought this is part of a grand scheme by God. And so these people were killed by this tower because God wanted them dead because they were the worst sinners. And so Jesus said, no. So now we know that when people get killed by accidents, it's not because they're the worst sinners. But here's what people have done who believe God micromanages everything. They say God's killing them for some reason we don't know. Maybe he's punishing their family members.
The ultimate hypocrisy in this is if you believe this, then why were you angry at me for anything that I would say or do? Because by your own belief, you would have to know that God was pulling the puppet strings.
Right. Exactly. The people who get angry at me because of what I teach about God being free, that God is free and God is able to be creative and he could change what he's going to do today or tomorrow because he's free.
Right.
Nothing can constrain him. God is free. And people get mad at me for teaching that, and they believe that God is predestined I would teach that. It's just bizarre.
It is.
It's truly bizarre.
And I think, again, it goes back to the teaching of cliches and of a belief without a foundation just being repeated over and over and over again. Mm. And let's face it, if you're a child and you grow up in that environment, you trust the adults around you, it's a very hard thing to break free of.
Yeah.
Because you've heard it all your life, and it becomes a core belief even when you haven't thought through it. Mm-hmm.
So if there's somebody out there who's angry right now and disagrees, a couple questions you could ask yourself, is God free? Does God have the ability to do something new or something creative? Is he free and is he able? And then also, does God orchestrate the rape of a child and the child's murder for his pleasure and his glory? Or does God hate sin? And is there a war in the Bible which is described as a war against evil, which God is waging? Or does God play both sides of the war between right and wrong? Is he funding both sides, orchestrating both sides, fighting both sides? Brian, the last thing is the 15 trees planted by West Bowles Community Church.
Well, let me tell you the story so that you have the background and maybe a little more understanding of it. Lisa and I decided to attend West Bowles Church one Sunday morning. And their youth pastor, I believe his name was Dave McPherson, got up in front of the church and announced they were going to build a prayer garden in which they would place 15 large rocks, one for each of the people who died at Columbine and lost their soul that day.
So he said that one for each of the people who lost their soul. You guys were there, happened to be there.
Happened to be there.
In the congregation.
And Lisa got up and headed towards the door, and I went up to talk to the pastor, George Kirsten, and I said, this is evil. You can't do this. And he said, well, you need to talk to him. And I said, no, I need to talk to you. You're the senior pastor. And he said, okay, we'll meet. So we set up a meeting.
This is a mega church.
Right. They were both there, and they talked about why they thought it was important. And Rich asked them, well, why don't you put a statue of Judas on the altar. And they said, well, some people actually believe that Judas ushered in the era of Christ and all of these evil things. Well, after an hour conversation, they said, tell you what, we're going to agree to disagree. We will not do the garden. And I said, it's okay to do it. You can do it for Cassie Bernal. You can do it for the victims. If you want to do it for the murderers, you need to leave a representation of Dan out of it. And then seven other families called him. Each of them got a different story, and each of them told him, leave my child out of this.
If you're going to do
if
anything
with— If you
want to
honor the murderers, leave my child out of this.
So seven families got involved of the 13 families who lost the family member.
And there were seven different stories. Well, then we assumed, you know, this is over. They're not going to do anything. And then someone showed me a mailer they've got announcing the opening of the prayer garden coming up in, you know, whatever, a week or two. And there are 15 trees that they put up. 15
so 15 trees.
They went even worse. They went from a rock to a tree.
Which is life.
Well, and it's the symbol of the cross.
Yeah.
You know, it's synonymous with the cross.
Yeah.
And they did that intentionally. And they weren't going to announce it publicly, but they were sending this to their members.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we talked to them again and said, you need to stop this. You need to end it. And they said no. And so
I remember some of the lies at the time because this all played out in the media, Peter Boyle's show, newspapers. And some of the lies were, well, the landscaper accidentally planted 15 trees.
Right. So one of the families went to the landscaper and they said, nope, here's the plans. This is what they sent to us to do.
Right. And there were other similar kinds of lies.
Right.
And then there was a radio show, I recall, or you were on with the senior pastor, George Kirsten. You remember?
Well, that was after we had a little protest.
That's right.
And Rich went to Kirsten and said, you need to come out here with us, and we need to cut those trees down. And Kirsten said, I'm not going to come with you, but you do what you need to do. In other words, gave him permission to do so.
This was on a Sunday morning.
This was a Sunday morning.
With all the media in the world down there.
And about 50 of us protesters
50
with signs.
50 protesters.
And it ended up with us trimming the trees. And I don't know if you remember this.
Down to the stump, you mean.
Right. Exactly. They told us that the trees did not represent any of the victims in any particular order. Mm. So we went around and we put signs on each of the trees to represent the honest innocent victims. Mm-hmm. And we didn't put signs for Klebold and Harris. And then
relatives cut those down.
Right. A couple people cut those two down that were representative of Klebold and Harris. And then some people came out of the church and said, you just cut down Cassie's tree. And of course we said, well, you know, let's look at this logically. You just got done saying
that
didn't represent anyone. So tell us which one are Klebold and Harris. We'll cut those down and pay for you to get a new one for Cassie. How's that sound?
Right.
And then the police were there, and they didn't look like they really wanted to arrest us. I think they were hoping that
Well, we had permission.
We had permission, but they wouldn't have known that.
That's where that People magazine photo came, the two-page photo of signs talking about Jesus, right and wrong. If he repents, forgive him. That forgiveness should not be automatic. Luke 17:3.
Right.
Right in the number one most popular magazine in the world, People magazine, here are people doing what's right and not honoring murderers.
Right. And, you know, that was something that should have never happened. And, you know, the church should have honored their word. But they went on that radio show, George Kirsten, actually making this statement that we have the right as adults to change our mind and this is private property. So, you know, it was an interesting conversation. I don't think they made their point terribly well.
Now, he admitted – this is what I remember from that show. He admitted that he had promised you and the parents that they would not do 15.
That's right.
He admitted it.
Right.
And it's sad to say this, but I think he admitted it because he was afraid you had a recording. Because your recordings had become pretty famous by then.
Yeah, I would say that if you talk to me and you want to lie publicly about what you've said to me, you do face a certain amount of risk that your own words may come back to bite you. Mm.
So he admitted that he, as the senior pastor of West Bowles, he gave his word he would not do 15. And I remember his words still in my ears today. He said, it's private property. We have the right to do with it what we choose. And I thought, how about your word?
Mm-hmm.
How about your word to the victims?
Well, we talked about that. And of course, the big issue is we weren't trespassing because we had permission to be there.
Right.
They gave us permission to cut down the trees. And then for years and years, probably to this day, they say, well, we think it speaks louder to leave it just the way it is. You know, they're trying to say this is some deep thought. What they're really saying is we want to honor murderers.
Well, remember what happened to Mrs. Velasquez in the parking lot that day?
Of course I do. She was there protesting with us, and Fox News was filming her. And one of their good church members came running out and said, you're a loser, straight to Phyllis Velasquez. And she turned around almost in tears and said, I'm a loser because my son was murdered at Columbine. And he turned back around and pointed at her and screamed, that's right, you're a loser.
And here's the church that teaches, and it's really only because they're typical of 1,000 churches, that you forgive everyone, forgiveness is automatic. So with Harrison Klebold, the entire church structure instantly forgave them of everything. Now here come the parents who say, don't honor the murderers. It hurts us and it's wrong, and there is a hatred and a vindictiveness against the victims for saying don't honor the murderers.
Right. My mom always said they forgive everybody but you.
My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about Show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading the plot, I now understand the Bible. This caught my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered the plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART. That's E-N-Y-A-R-T. Or 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
So with Harrison Klebold, the entire church structure instantly forgave them of everything. Now here come the parents who say, don't honor the murderers. It hurts us and it's wrong. And there is a hatred and a vindictiveness against the victims for saying, don't honor the murderers.
Right. My mom always said, they forgive everybody but you.
Right.
And that's exactly and what it is.
And they will not judge anyone but you.
And of course, you can't forgive someone who hasn't harmed you.
Right.
But of course, in their
right.
way of thinking,
you've
and
wronged
and
them.
I can only hope it's changed, but it's not biblical. In fact, when we met with them, we begged them for Bible verses to support their position.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of these two pastors could come up with a single verse that supported their position, not even a concept.
Mm-hmm. Brian, recently I was at a luncheon, about 10 people, and George Kirsten happened to be there. In fact, he was sitting right next to me. And so we talked. I told him that you and I were friends and you were going to do a show, Bob and Inyart Live. And we talked through a bit. It wasn't the time or place to get into it at length. But I think there might be an open door after all these years to get back and to try to work through this.
Well, of course, we'd be thrilled with the opportunity to talk to them and talk about our biblical reasoning for the position we've taken. Be happy to listen to what they have to say. Of course, our goal would be that they reconsider the biblical evidence and that you don't honor murderers and that they make that their position. And we'd be thrilled, of course, for that.
Yeah, that would be super. Last question I have for you. If Frank DeAngelis, principal of Columbine, hears this and he says, "I never said anything like that," any way we could substantiate that on a future show?
Well, listen, if he wants to say that what I'm saying is untrue, then all I can say is you're making your own decision.
Right. Okay. I'll take that. So this has been quite a look back at Columbine, the sin that led to Columbine, the nightmare of not only the crime, but the police response, and then the criminal cover-up afterward, and then the interpretation by Christians that this was all done by God. That's quite a picture, Brian.
And there's one other thing I'd like to say in closing. Sheriff Ted Mink, Jefferson County Sheriff, he promised me, I'll bring those recordings next time if you want to air them. He promised me that he believed the families had been wronged and that all the evidence would be released, that he would release everything possible. Anything outside of a court order, he would release, and he would do anything he could to help the families. And it's been years, and that was a lie. And Ted Mink is really not any different than John Stone from my perspective, being a Columbine victim's parent. What he has done is continue the cover-up and the conspiracy. The meeting of the 20 officials included a man by the name of Ray Fleer. That's the man that Ted Mink chose as his undersheriff.
That's right, Ray Fleer. And Ted Mink, isn't he going to be at an event here honoring victims?
You know, I heard there's an event coming up to where Jeffco's going to show their support for victims. And I would think if he cares about victims, he'd be there.
Yeah, he might be there.
Maybe people from the DA's office would be there too.
All right. So, Brian, thank you very, very much for all the time you spent in helping us piece this all together and how tragic it all was. And thank you for standing up for the truth, even in the midst of all this nightmare.
Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. And for those of you out there listening to all this, hey, I want to thank you so much for tuning into Bob and Yurt Live, where we take on the issues of the day, whatever they are. If they're theological, economic, moral, legal, if it's current events, then we want to understand what's happening in our world from God's perspective, from a biblical worldview. What an honor it has been to have Brian Rohrbaugh in the studio for these shows. Hey, Brian's hanging out, right? We'll be done in a few minutes. I'd like to talk to him. Great. Two of the Bible study materials that we offer Brian Rohrbaugh was involved with, one is a Bible study album, and the other is a written debate. The album is Nicer Than God, and what a powerful Bible study that is. Christians have been taught that we're not supposed to judge, we're supposed to forgive everyone, it's not right to offend anyone, and that has really affected in a negative way the ministry of the body of Christ. So that when we look back at the Bible and see the way Jesus Christ conducted himself, if you hide the fact that it was Jesus and you quote him, others will say, that was not very Christ-like. We say, well, Jesus is the one who said it. You see, what has happened is we have become nicer than God. Throughout the whole Bible, God expects the righteous, those who love him, to judge. And if we don't judge, the world is left in total ignorance because they need us to show the difference between right and wrong and to say, you can't do that. You can't sell drugs to kids. It's evil. You can't have sex outside of marriage. If you do, you're sinning. It's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Abortion is the unjust killing of an innocent child. It's wrong. And these things are judgments. Of course we have to judge. And so when we did this Nicer Than God Bible study, Brian Rohrbaugh came in on part of it, and you've got to hear that. It's just fabulous. It's a great Bible study. And on forgiveness, are we supposed to forgive everyone automatically? No, we are not. God does not forgive everyone automatically. In fact, that's the biggest lie that's sending people to hell today in America, is that God is a loving God and he forgives everyone. And so there's no need to concern yourself with your sin or salvation, because pretty much everybody's going to go to heaven because God is a loving God. He forgives everyone. Well, where does that idea come from? It comes from Christian radio, Christian television, and from our pulpits and our Sunday school classes, because they teach that Christians should forgive everyone automatically. Whereas Jesus said in Luke 17, he said, if someone sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Because if you forgive automatically, that means repentance is unnecessary. And guess what? Then people don't repent. And when people don't repent, you ruin relationships, you destroy lives, and you send people to hell because they think, hey, God is a God of love. He forgives everybody. I have nothing to worry about. So we cover this in the Nicer Than God Bible Study album, and you will absolutely love it. So call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And then Battle Royale 10. Is the future settled or open? Is God free? Is God able to do something new and something creative at this very moment or any time in eternity future? Of course he is. But millions of Christians think that God is not, and that the future is utterly settled. Brian Rohrbaugh was involved in that. We talked about it just a little bit, but you have to read the letter that Brian Rohrbaugh wrote to Dr. Samuel Lamerson, my debate opponent, on this big question. Is God free? Is the future settled or open? You will be stunned when you read what Brian Rohrbaugh had to write and how perfectly it fit in to this 10-round moderated debate. So that's Battle Royale 10. Is your entire future settled or is it open? So again, you can get that on our website at KGov, that's KGOV.com, or call us at 800-8-NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. So consider going to our website, KGov, KGOV.com. You can call us and ask for our catalog, 800-8-NYART, and you have to see this DVD that Brian Rohrbaugh did speaking at the March for Life in Denver this year. You got to check it out. So call us, 800-8-NYART. Have you seen the Bobinyart Live catalog? It's got so many neat resources, like videos such as Get Out of the Matrix, when I debated a college philosophy class, and Eagle Eggs, when does an eagle become an eagle? Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty. And then there's Video Fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bobinyart Live catalog or get it on the web at KGov, KGOV.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bobinyart Live catalog, so give us a ring.